Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today's kind of a little bit of a different kind of a topic, and it might seem like a strange time to do an entire podcast about RVing in Iceland, because quite frankly, we're not recommending that anybody go to Iceland right now. I mean, while it might be possible, we are certainly not recommending it. But during this strange era of coronavirus that we're all living in, I personally feel like it's very important to keep dreaming, keep thinking about these bucket list trips. And Stephanie and I really want to take an RV trip to Iceland one of these days.
Yeah, I thought it was going to be sooner rather than later, actually. This was one of my next big trips on my list, but I don't know. We've got credits from canceled flights, so we'll see when we actually get to cash them in.
So we've been talking back and forth to Cindy Munson for a couple, maybe a year now, about doing this episode. And tonight, we're finally going to make it happen. She's done two trips to Iceland, and she's going to break it all down for us, give it all the information that we need to plan our own bucket list trip to Iceland. But before we dive in, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
AquaBio is a new twist on holding tank treatments. It offers today's RVers a formaldehyde-free and bromopol-free formula. Thetford's next generation of holding tank solution is campground-friendly, and it complies with California regulations, which happen to be the strictest regulations
Iceland
out
might
there.
Be stricter than California.
I don't
California.
Know. We'll have to find out. The quick-acting holding tank treatment eliminates odors while digesting waste and toilet paper to prevent clogging, all without those harsh chemicals. Proudly made in the USA, Thetford's new AquaBio is formulated and tested safe for all RV and marine toilets, holding tanks, and septic systems. It comes in liquid, toss-in, and dry options, so just visit Thetford.com for more information. Welcome to the show, Cindy.
Hi, thanks so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
We're excited to have you. Tell us a little bit about your family, because you haven't been on the show before. So who are you? Where are you from? And who do you typically travel with?
Great. Yeah. So, like you said, my name is Cindy and I am married to Josh and we have 3 daughters and they are ages 12, 10, and 8. So kind of, in my opinion, the sweetest spot so far that we've had. We live in College Station, Texas, which is home of Texas A&M University. And I actually work for the university and raise money for them. And then my husband is a high school biology teacher and then a cross country and track coach. Neither one of us really grew up camping. This was just something that kind of, I don't know, I guess, got under our skin, lit our fire. After we had the girls, we, like most people, were a little short on vacation funds. And I also travel a whole bunch for my job. And the last thing I really wanted to do was get on another plane or get in another hotel room. And so we started camping and we started like most people, or I think a lot of people, and like y'all kind of recommend, we started with the pop-up and did that for a little while. And then in January of 2018, we bought a Rockwood Roo hybrid, and that's what we camp with now.
And you guys put up an adorable picture, if I remember correctly, you guys put up an adorable picture of your family with our book when our book came out, which I personally thank you for because it made my day. So tell us a little bit about where do you guys typically go in your hybrid? I mean, what types of places do you camp when you're not doing these big trips to somewhere like Iceland?
Yeah, we are pretty lucky in Texas. I think y'all visited. Texas has a great state park system. So, and we live pretty close to some state parks. So we've done quite a few of the state parks in Texas. And then we've actually done three pretty big trips in it. So right after we got it in January of 18, we took it to the Grand Canyon. And we're one of those families that names things. So we've named it, and it's Joey. And so Joey and the girls and Josh and I headed out to the Grand Canyon, and it was fabulous. I mean, it was 40 hours in the car pulling it, but it was great. And then we've done a trip up to Oklahoma, Broken Bow area, Hot Springs, Arkansas area, and back down. That one was obviously not as far, but still really cool. And then this past spring break, right before the world kind of got turned upside down, we actually were at the Big Bend National Park. And I don't know if a lot of people know this, but there's also a state park, the Big Bend State Park, that almost touches the national park. So we did a couple of days in both of those. And then Saturday, or 2 days from now, we actually are going to do another big trip. So 2020 was our trip of RVing, which could not have been more perfect for the COVID world we're living in. And we pull out Saturday, and we are headed to South and North Dakotas. So Badlands, Black Hills, Custer State Park, Theodore Roosevelt National Park, and we are super excited. So we really jumped in and have loved every minute of it.
So it sounds like Joey might be named for a baby kangaroo. Is that true?
Yes.
Roo?
Yes. I remember my kids, when we got it, the girls were, I guess, 9, 7, and 5. So, yes, for sure.
I see you, Cindy. I see. I get it.
And Joey's been hopping all over America.
Yeah, you guys have been keeping busy with Joey. But apparently, Joey sometimes gets a break, and you do get yourself on a plane and hop across the pond to Iceland. So tell us how those international RV trips started.
So my husband and I have kind of promised each other that every 5 years we would go on a bigger trip and do something really fun to celebrate our anniversary. And then also we had a 40th birthday that kind of coincided with our 15-year anniversary trip. And we just started talking about kind of going to somewhere exotic or different, and we just didn't know what that looked like. And about that time, our kids were pretty little and had watched a show on Netflix or Disney or something called Brother Bear. And they had really featured the Northern Lights in that show. And we just kind of got hooked about talking about the Northern Lights and what they look like and how awesome it would be to see it. And so, you know, Google took over and then research took over, and we just landed on, oh my gosh, let's go to Iceland and see the Northern Lights. And as I mentioned, my husband is a school teacher, and we really tried to make it work for us to go in the winter so we could see the Northern Lights, but it just didn't. But by that time, I had done so much research about Iceland. I was just in love with the country, and my husband is a great guy and pretty much is like, whatever you want, that's great. And so we were just like, okay, let's do it. Let's go to Iceland. And even though it was the summer, I mean, obviously a very, very different experience in the summer than the winter in Iceland. And we just were like, yeah. And I mean, I started researching and was like, let's figure out how to do this.
So for that first trip, did you go, it was just you and your husband?
Yes. So in summer of 17, just my husband and I went, and we went for 10 days. And then we kind of, we told the girls as kind of just a way to make them okay with us leaving them for that long, that if we really liked it, we would take them back. Well, we really, really liked it, so we took them back. And Josh and I have talked a lot about exposing our kids to different things, whether that's Big Bend National Park or Iceland. And so we were like, let's just do this. And this was really my kids. One of my kids has been to Mexico, but this was their first international trip, first time on a long flight like that. And it was really amazing and exciting. The camping and the camper van kind of happened just because it is such a unique and easy way to travel in Iceland, or just anywhere, obviously. But the more I started researching it, it just sounded like the RV, the camper van, was the way to go once you got there.
Yeah, it really does seem to pop up a lot, even more for Iceland than it does for a lot of other places that people go internationally, right? Like these two things, RVing and Iceland, kind of feel connected in a way that it doesn't for any of the other, at least European countries that I'm aware of. And I always wonder if it harkens back to like that ring road, right? Like, I'm wondering if we relate it to some of those national park ring roads and just kind of think, like,
oh, yeah,
well, sure. If we're going to drive in a circle, us RVers might as well do it in a camper van, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So what else about Iceland just seemed to work well with an RV?
I think what you said, but I think it is just why a lot of people like RVing. It is just puts you so close to nature. I mean, that is the number one thing that was amazing. And the way the RV parks are set up or the campgrounds are set up and such, I mean, you're literally might be by a waterfall. You might be by the black sand beaches. And so, I mean, you open your camper van doors or your RV hatch and there you are and you're looking at something that you've never seen before and it's the most beautiful thing you've ever seen.
All right, we're going to come back in 1 second and kind of zoom in on the camper van experience a little bit. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends over at RV Snap Pad. Meet the world's only permanent jack pad. RV Snap Pads attach permanently to your RV leveling jack, so you don't have to carry around blocks of wood or plastic blocks to level your RV or motorhome. Simply snap them on one time and you are all set. And Stephanie, we snapped them on recently, didn't we?
Ours are snapped on.
They're snapped on. I used to carry around 4 jack pads in my storage bin. I have to always dig through the storage bin to find them, walk around the RV, bend down, position them perfectly.
Or make your kids, let's be honest, make that, your kids
totally,
position them.
Totally calling me out.
Let's read Honest Dads.
I have 3 kids. I'd give them each one pad to put down, and I put down the other. But now with RV Snap Pads, I have permanently mounted rock-solid jack pads wherever we roam. So I get to spend more time having fun at the campground and less time setting up. All right, so you're going to want to go to rvsnappad.com to get more information, but I want to tell you, they are having some manufacturing issues related to COVID, and they are sold out on their website right now. It is not going to stay that way, but you still want to go to rvsnappad.com, and they have links to some of their partners that do sell the product and do have them in stock, and they hopefully will have them back in stock soon. But it is a crazy world out there, and some people are having trouble getting things in stock.
The supply chain is an issue, but you can get them from somewhere still, and they'll point you in the right direction.
Yeah, so head over to rvsnaphead.com, and we welcome them to the show as a brand new sponsor. So, all right, Cindy, let's zoom in on the camper van experience, because, you can rent somewhat larger RVs, correct? But you guys went with the camper van.
Yes, so you can rent the truck campers and class B and C, but I would say the most popular thing that we noticed, and then even on the websites and the research, was the camper van.
Now, Cindy, I'm really fascinated to hear how that experience was with 3 kids, right? Because you're in that world that we're in where, you know, everything's easier with 2 kids, right? Like 2 kids right. fits in your typical hotel room and your RV.
Yes.
But 3 kids can be a little more challenging. So how did you, all 5 of you, do in this camper van rental?
Well, that actually was kind of another reason we went ahead and went last summer, is because our children were still little enough. So we rented one of the camper vans that I'm not sure the technical term, but has the pop-up roof, if you will, and then pops down. So we had the 3 girls sleeping on that, and they slept, you know, head, toe, head, whatever, I don't know, back and forth. And then my husband and I, we slept on the bottom part of the camper van, like where the actual seats were, and laid down and made a bed. So it was tight. I mean, it was perfect. The girls never fought. We never fought. I mean, it was magical.
You were all magical. Well, I'm
am I noting a little like New
Not
Jersey style sarcasm?
Just a tiny, tiny bit of sarcasm. I think there was one day where we just literally gave them every device we had and said, do not talk to us for 2 hours.
So, no speaking.
Thank you for being honest. If our 3 boys were to sleep in that one bed on the pop top, they would knock the camper van over on its side. I just know they would. So God bless your kids for making it work. So what else was attractive about the camper van experience? I mean, was it lots of fun and easy to park everywhere? What was it like?
Right. Yes, lots of things like that. I think the first thing is it was, frankly, in our price range. It was something that we could afford, and so we were like, yeah, let's do it. I think this one's probably actually a little more my husband's thing, because he did do most of the driving, but Iceland is just known for its wind. It is very unpredictable, and so I think we decided the camper van would just be the safe choice for our family. We obviously drive Joey, the Rockwood Brew, lots and all over the place. But coming back from the Grand Canyon, my husband drove about 6 hours with like 40 to 50 mile an hour winds. and it was not pleasant. And so I think just the threat of that again kind of led us to the camper van, and then also just obviously being in a foreign country, you know, where we don't know as much of anything. And so I think the other thing, so this is something that's pretty specific, but I think it matters, especially when you're traveling with children. The camper van allowed all three girls to see out of the window. Now, that is something, I mean, this is very specific, but if you're really going to go and you're going to put your money into a trip like this and the time, you know, the whole reason you're going is to see this beautiful landscape. And so the camper van we rented had two windows on, you know, each side, the driver and the passenger, and then obviously the front windshield too. Some camper vans, though, do not have that. And so if it's just two people and, you know, you're just in the front seat and the passenger seat, no big deal. But with the girls, we wanted them all to be able to see.
That's a great tip. My goodness. Because
keeps them out of trouble, too.
Well, and you're in this beautiful, I mean, it's like beautiful everywhere you go. And I could picture our three boys complaining in the back seat if they couldn't see anything.
Yes. Yes. And I didn't want to play the game of, you know, it's 5 minutes, you know, you get it for 20 minutes and then we're switching seats. Like, no, that was not a game we wanted to play. So another thing that was convenient for us is we did not have to pack camping supplies. So I don't know, again, post-COVID world, if this would change much, but it came with sleeping bags. It came with a gas stove, pots and pans, plates, utensils. So, I mean, we literally got off the plane with our backpacks and our suitcase and had the camper van stocked and ready to go for us.
You mentioned the COVID world we're all living in. I actually just read an article about Iceland like 2 days ago, and they really are trying to get tourism back into Iceland, and they have very, very few cases there. Of course, you have to, if you get off the plane, you have to be tested. And if you're tested and you're positive, you have to quarantine for 14 days. So, you know, I was talking to Stephanie about it. It's like this kind of super high risk trip to take now. And I certainly wouldn't tell anybody to take it right now. But the country is basic. It's open right now for business because their caseload is so low.
Yeah, I follow a lot of Instagrammers and Facebook things about Iceland still because I just love it that much. And I actually did read, though, that they're pretty close down to Americans. Travelers right now?
I would be.
Yeah, same. But they're a little more relaxed with the Nordic countries, and then for sure with, I mean, the EU, a little more open. So,
and they're just looking at numbers.
But, right, you know, now. Just about the being stocked. I mean, that's something that traveling, you know, if, you know, for our listeners that have been listening to the show for a little while, you know that when we do our fly and rent, you know, or fly in cabin vacations, that this is a big deal for me. We've done different fly and rental RVs where they have not been stocked with all of the equipment, or a cabin that isn't stocked with all of the equipment. I have flown places with blankets in bags, okay? And I'm just telling you, you don't want to do that. Like, I refuse to do it anymore. Now, when I do any rentals, either of RVs or cabins, I am crazy about making sure they're all stocked with supplies that we need.
Yes. The less you have to take, the better, for sure.
All right. We're going to come back in 1 second and talk about what the campgrounds are like, because I think they're quite a bit different than American campgrounds. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There are a few lessons that RVers learn quickly. Things aren't always easy. There's always some work to be done and a helping hand to be shared. A little dirt never hurt, and the forecast doesn't always cooperate. But the most important thing that RVers ever learn, a bit of resilience goes a long way. Let's lead the charge back together. RVers were built for this. Jayco was built for this. And to find out more, you can visit jayco.com/builtforthis for comeback-related news and advice.
All right, Cindy, talk to us about the campgrounds. I'm kind of fascinated in this part. What are they like?
Yeah, they're so amazing and so different. So when we went the first time, I was honestly very nervous. We didn't have reservations. It was like everything I read was like, oh, it's fine. You just pull up. Oh, no big deal. Park wherever. And, you know, that's just so different than the state park where you have this exact site and you have to be out by this time and, you know, check in by this time and those kinds of things. But Iceland, I mean, it's just set up to be a place to camp, whether that's tent, camper van, RV, whatever, but they're really everywhere. I mean, they're obviously a little more sparse in the, I guess, north and eastern side of the island, but they're just everywhere. And I mean, it's a hiking, or not hiking, a camping culture. So you just literally drive however far you want to go, sightsee, do what you want. And then you look at the map and you're like, oh, there's a campground right here. We can drive 45 minutes or another hour and there's another one. The campgrounds do, I couldn't really ever tell if there, I am sure there might be some kind of, you know, overarching company or governmental entity that runs some of them, but they really seem to almost all be very independent and they're all very different. You pull up to one and it's just this beautiful campground and it might have spaces for RVs and camper vans. It might have a space for tent campers. It might have a swimming pool. It might have a restaurant. It might have sleeping rooms for, there are people who actually walk and also bicycle around the island. So it might be like that, or you could just, you know, pull up and it's kind of like, I would say more state parkish, where it's just a bathroom and showers and you just park. There really isn't any sites. It's just like, this is the tent camp area. Don't put your camper van over there. Most of them, you just pay, you know, in the morning or at night. And there's not a lot of, I guess, oversight would be the word I'd use.
But everybody behaves.
Yes. Oh my gosh. Yes. It was so nice. So friendly. Every single person we talked to, both, you know, Icelanders and then also the other tourists were just so nice. The campgrounds, talking about kids, y'all, I mean, the playgrounds at some of these campgrounds were intense and amazing. I think the U.S. legal system has not gotten there yet because they were a little dangerous, if you will. We would not have them at any of the schools in Texas, I'll put it that way, but my girls loved them. And I would say that some of the campgrounds are kind of, maybe use the word hostel-like. They might have a big open room and space to like cook on your, you know, I guess you wouldn't cook on your, you could do like plug in with a kettle type cooking, but not obviously propane. But, and some of them had an oven and a stove that you could use in their kitchen. Some of them, a few of them, I would say not a lot, or not a lot of the ones we stayed at actually had hookups. So if you were going into the you know, more RV, less camper van, I think that would be a little more difficult to do, just because I don't think every park had hookups, but quite a few of them did. I don't know.
Are there dump stations there too? Like, what did you have, like a little cassette toilet kind of thing?
Some. I mean, since the camper van we had did not have a restroom, so we just used the restroom and shower facilities at the campground. So I didn't do a lot of checking, but the ones that had RV hookups did have a dump station. I did notice that.
Now, you have to camp in the campgrounds. Like, there's no like boondocking, right? In Iceland, like, they're everywhere, but you have to find one of the campgrounds.
Correct. And that's something that I think, after doing some research, kind of became a problem once Iceland exploded as such a touristy place. I think years and years and years ago, you could literally just pull off the side of the road and camp, but they have really restricted that. I mean, it is illegal to camp anywhere but a campground. But like I said, and like you just said, I mean, they're everywhere. And the price point, again, you know, if you're going to be able to travel internationally, saving dollars wherever you can is very good. And but I mean, we were paying $20 to $40 a night for all five of us.
That sounds amazing. So, what were, just in general, to wrap it up, what are some of the big highlights of doing a trip to Iceland in terms of the natural features and the types of activities that you did with your girls?
Yeah, I think what the girls would say, and Josh and I would agree too, just the hiking, both just up and down kind of the rolling, beautiful hills. We actually did a glacier hike and that was amazing. The waterfalls. One of the things that I love the most, and it's probably because I'm a mom of three and 40 years old, but they had the geothermal pools, which they're just famous for. We went to two different ones and I mean, it's like a spa day. We actually did not go to the Blue Lagoon, which is the most famous one. We did a couple of other ones and it's just relaxing and, I mean, it's amazing. You're sitting there literally in water that's heated by the earth. There's a couple of cities, I'm going to butcher how you say them, but Reykjavik and Ikiri are the two biggest cities. So you can do some kind of city life things, but I mean, you you can go on horseback riding. Iceland has an actual Icelandic horse that is only native to Iceland. They do not allow any horses, other horses in or out. You can do whale watching. There's turf houses. It's a nature lover's dream.
And according to your notes, debit and credit cards work everywhere.
Yes. The only time we ever had to use any Icelandic money is at one of the campgrounds. You actually had to pay for hot water in a shower. And I was not going to take a cold shower. So I went ahead and paid the $2 for
take
the hot water.
Take my money.
Well, Cindy Munson, thank you so much for coming on the show and giving us this great trip planner for an RV trip to Iceland. It is at the top of our bucket list, personally.
Do you all want to go back, or do you feel like we need to look, we want to explore other places? Or are you all itching to get back as soon as you can?
Can I say both?
Yeah, I know. I feel you on that.
I mean, yes, my husband and I will definitely go back. We loved it that much. I mean, and I think we've found a way to do it that is, relatively speaking, affordable. And so, yes, we would want to go back. I don't know that we would take the girls just because my kids are young and they can take themselves when they're older.
Yeah, no, right, exactly. You want to give them, you can expose them to a variety of other things. And I think like relatively affordable. It sounds like the way that I think about Disney trips in general.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, once you're there and you're doing the 20 to 40 a night at the campgrounds, I mean, obviously there's a lot of expense getting there and renting the camper van, but I mean, per night, it would be a heck of a lot more expensive to be renting hotel rooms or whatever, wherever it might be. So, Cindy, thank you so much, and we really do hope to see you at the campground.
Thanks, Cindy.
Yeah. See y'all at the campground.
A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.